Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mailbag Monday. Angel here, going to answer some questions today. Angel, how you doing today, huh?
I am doing great, and I'm so excited about these questions we're getting from people.
Great.
Continue to write in and send us your questions, because it does help. We want to know what you want to hear us chat about.
Yep.
So let's just dive right in. This first question is a doozy. I saw on my son's computer that he is looking at porn, and I am not sure what to say to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to have to say something. The longer you wait to say something, the louder it'll be when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
So truth sets you free, but you need to stay calm when you say it. So you talk to kids about, you know, any of kids about porn, you just got to be straight up. Like,
well,
hey.
I mean, excuse me to interrupt you, but
I wish you would.
Well, I remember when my son was going through puberty.
Yes.
And I was in the kitchen, and this is a very clear, vivid memory for me. And he walked around the corner, and I just locked eyes with him, and I said, I don't know what you've been doing, but it doesn't look very good on your face. And he just kind of got the sheepish look, and then I said, what's that behind your back? So very slowly pulls out a Victoria's Secret catalog.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know what? Come over here and sit down with me for just a minute, because I would like to talk to you about this. I said, first of all, this fact that you're interested in girls and their bodies is a good, healthy sign of a part of your maturing from growing into a boy into a man.
Yes.
And I said, and these ladies are beautiful, but let me just tell you something, where this is going to lead. Because in the Bible, that God intended for your wife to be your crown.
Yes.
Someone that you adored and respected.
Yes.
And someone that you treated with honor. What porn does is it takes that type of a woman to somebody that's just there for your pleasure.
Yes.
And it changes the entire dynamics of a relationship. It can change a marriage. It can change just everything, how men look at women and everything. And these days, more and more, how women look at men. I mean, it just changes what God intended. So you have to ask yourself, in the future, do I want to have that kind of marriage, a godly marriage? Or do I want one that's starting out before we even get out of the gate going to have trouble? And here's the thing is, it's not going to stop here. This will lead to, you know, stuff on the internet, then to maybe movies and more stuff. There's a never-ending cycle that can't be fulfilled.
It's an endless road.
Plus, it's so unfair to your wife or your husband to go in with expectations that are not real.
There you go.
And so then you've set up that your wedding night is going to just be terrible. And not to mention, it could go on for years. I know people that have gone on for years and years. So these are questions that you have to ask yourself. Sometimes we treat our kids like they're dumb.
I know.
I mean, you know, he was 12 or 13, and I remember he took it very serious at heart. And you know, I'm not going to say that he didn't slip. He did a couple times, but he would always come to me and tell me, and we'd talk about it. And what I did when I talked to him very calmly like that about it and didn't make him feel stupid, then, you know, he felt safe to come to me and we could talk about it in the future. So that was my approach. I can't say that it's perfect, but it certainly helped open a door of communication that exists to this day.
Well, the worst thing you can do is overreact, and then you start giving out those horrible commandments like you're on Mount Sinai and you're going to roast in hell forever. And so you tell them, the biggest thing is just what Angel said, hey, this is a natural process of going from a childhood to adulthood, and the hormones are starting to bounce around like popcorn on a hot griddle. And I need to tell you how to handle that, because I'm not going to follow you around the rest of your life. I'm not going to check your emails. I'm not going to check your computer. If you want to find porn, you can find it. It's out there. And so I just go with the facts. You know, when I used to deal with high school students for years, I said, guys, you know, Every serial killer has been arrested since the late 1930s was eyeball deep in porn. It's just your flesh unleashed. Plus, that lady over there that you're looking at, that's not your wife. It's actually biblical. It's either your mother or your sister in the Lord. They're related to you. You know, you shouldn't be looking at them like that. God gave you one person. I tell people all the time to get completely nude with and have a good time. You know, you're supposed to be ravishing one another. Be satisfied with the breast of the wife of your youth. God made it to be attractive. That's why, you know, it says God made a man, but he built a woman. So we say, women are built. I said, boy, she sure is built. It says Hebrew. It's in the Hebrew. They're built. If God hadn't built them, men would never look. So they're supposed to be attractive. But God meant for you to be attracted to just one woman and be faithful to one woman. And the minute you start to drift, I don't know how many times I've been able to counsel people, you know, people in ministry. And once you get in, it's hard to get out because you go deeper. And I've guys that, you know, talk about traveling to drive, you know, 40 miles to a city next to them, be able to go in a porn shop, didn't think anybody know them. I said, be sure your sin will find you out. I don't care how far you drive, somebody's going to see you because God loves you enough. Because I tell people, you know, judgment starts at the house of God. You're the one's going to get caught first.
Right.
You're not going to outthink the devil. God's going to, he loves you enough, he's going to let you get caught first because he loves you. He said, no, and he stopped that, son, because this is going down a road that has no end to it. And don't let them get a hold of it. You know, you're supposed to enjoy one another sexually and be nude and get naked, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. But not somebody else. Even God in Proverbs 7, even God said, I don't understand. If I gave you a woman to get nude with and enjoy sexually, what are you doing to look at this woman over here? Even the creator of the universe is confused by humans who do that. That's you don't have a relationship. You don't pay their bills.
Right.
You don't fix their kids' crooked teeth. You're not fixing the water in their home. You know, you don't pay the house payment or the car payment. You don't do anything. This is just about you. It's just individual pure selfishness. And you don't want to go there, man. You want somebody that you want to love, you know, completely and totally in every way.
Yeah, and you know, I recently read a study, and it came out of England, and it was saying that in England, you can buy Viagra and those types of products over the counter. And it said that there has been such an increase on younger men in their 20s, early 20s, buying them because they have been so saturated with pornography that they have to now take this.
Yeah, they don't work anymore.
And so there's terrible. Terrible. There's no benefit that's going to come from
whatsoever.
It.
Whatsoever.
And the problem is if you tease and toy with sin, you'll fall in.
Yes, you will.
So I would just sit down and have a true heart-to-heart with them.
Face-to-face, stay calm. Just say, let me tell you where this is going to go. I had a one-page thing I printed off from the census one time about what happens with porn, both male and female. Let me tell you where this is going to go. You can't whip this. This is the way God made this. He made it to be powerful. But if you, it's like the Ark of the Covenant. As long as you handle it right, it'll bless your socks off. If you mishandle the Ark of the Covenant, it'll kill you dead. And so God made sex to be a wonderful thing. But if you mishandle it, it'll kill you dead. Don't play with this. This is a powerful thing.
It is. But if you avoid it and you don't confront it, it'll
get
grow.
That's right. It'll get ugly. So don't ever avoid it.
All right. The next one is, my husband and I disagree on what is too strict and what is too permissive with our kids. I may be wrong, but it seems the kids that grow up in really strict homes go the craziest when they get out on their own. How in the world do you find the balance? There's some truth to that.
Yes.
I have seen that many times.
Yes. I probably did that myself and with my first two children. I was probably overly strict and overly controlling and you know, I'm going to make sure no sin. I keep sin out, you know. Well, you realize something. You can't. You're not the Holy Spirit. You can't be with your kids 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
They're going to go places, see things, hear things. My job is to put the Word of God into them. That's my job as a parent. I'm to put the Word of God on a daily basis so that God, the Word, will be with them wherever they go, and the Holy Spirit will use that Word to convict them or condemn us. Hey, don't do that. That's not good. Hey, you can do this. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is great. Hey, that's dangerous. Don't touch that. And so you got to get the Word of God into them so they have a controlling factor within them, not outside. You can't – eventually they're going to turn 12 and 13, and they're going to yell loud and you can. They can throw a can of green beans harder than you can. They'll slam the doors, and they'll get rebellious. And so you're supposed to – it's supposed to be something of the heart, not the flesh. People used to ask us, did you ever spank your kids? I said, yeah, in the early years. So, well, how many times? I said, well, we had six kids, and I gave a total of five spankings and 8 years of parenting. It wasn't something we did very often, but it was there. It mm-hmm. was there. It's like, hey, guys, I'm going to be like Santa Claus stuck upside down your chimney. I'm trying to be good. I'm the one that fixed your crooked teeth, got your car, got you into college, paid for your wedding, your honeymoon. I'm Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. You have a lot of enemies. I'm not one of them, but I'm not going to let you go stupid either. I will confront you if I think things are going the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. It seems like, you know, when I was a kid, when we were kids, you know, parents were very, my parents were very strict, and especially after they got born again. Whoa, mm-hmm. did the rules change in our house?
Laws came down.
Yeah. So, but what happened, then we grew up, and it was just like, I'm not going to do that. I am not, you know, but we've gone to the other extreme, and we've tried to become friends with our kids,
yes.
and they don't need a friend. No, they need a parent.
They need a parent. Yes.
And so I think there has to be a balance to it. I mean, I found this in the many, many years I worked with teenagers and all, they are looking for boundaries. They are wanting to know, how far can I go before there's a no?
Yes.
And, I know everybody's not like this. I was pretty strong in my boundaries. But, you know, like you said, I let them live. I let them go. I didn't, you know, but if I had to address something, it was very clear.
Yeah.
So I think you can be too strict. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, all my friends were really natural foodies way before it was, you know, popular. And when I was almost 30 before I had my son. Yeah. So I had been married for 10 years. And I remember I would have candy and stuff at the house, junk food, and my kids would never eat it. Every year at Halloween, I'd have to throw away their Halloween food because I took the want away from it. Instead, yep. if I'd have said, nope, you can't have that. Nope, you can't. I remember my best friend, her kids, they'd have like alfalfa sprout sandwiches that go into lunch in the second grade. And I'd say, there's no way my kids are going to eat that, you know. So, but I remember one time she got really sick and I had to take her kids to school. And I said, hey, guys, I didn't have time to do anything. And I grabbed some Cheetos, you know, and I just, as I went by to pick up her kids, I said, hey, I didn't have time to get breakfast, but you got to eat something. I handed this kid Cheetos. I never have seen a kid happier. And she had Cheetos from ear to ear by the time we hit the stop sign. And every time they would come to my house, they would just go nuts. They'd say, can I have something to eat? And I'd say, just get what you want in there. Get what you want. Yeah. So people would say to me, I'm going to give your kids candy when they, you know, get, you know. And I would say, go ahead. I don't care. I'm going to take that off the table.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we make rules about things that, you know, don't matter. And then we wink at stuff that does. So what you have to do is say, what values do I want to put in this kid?
Yeah.
And then that's what you got to focus on.
Apostle Paul, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, said this. He said, when the law came, sin revived and I died. They said, what? Well, when the law came, I didn't know I was a sinner until God gave the law.
Mm-hmm.
We did what we wanted. We did what felt right. And all of a sudden God said, you know, you need my son, but you don't know you need my son. So I'll start with the law. We'll start with these 10 commandments and then we'll add about 610 more. He said, so when the law came, sin revived. He said, what does that mean? I didn't know what sin was until I was told not to do it. And the minute I was told not to do it, that's when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach high school students. I said, nobody's ever kept the law except Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They broke the 10 commandments every day.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because there was a law. Oh, man. Man, I've just left the temple and just cut my bull's throat down there and sacrificed it. I didn't get 10 minutes from town. I've sinned again. It didn't keep you from sinning. It just showed you. God was trying to show him, you can't control this. You need my son.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to need my son. And once Jesus died on the cross, that veil in the temple is torn top to bottom. No more bulls, no more sacrifices, no more turtle doves. It's my faith in what Jesus did, not me carrying a bull down to the altar, you know, every week. And what it was like, it was a life of faith now. What do you do? Well, every day. The Bible says every day a believer sins. And what do you do? Every day I get to repent. Every day I get to forgive. I'm not perfect, but I'm growing toward it.
Right.
I'm growing up in the things of God. So I want my children to know the same thing. I don't lay down laws. We have some rules for our house. We don't do this at home and we don't do that. I'm not trying to kill you off or frustrate you. I'm trying to help you live a long life,
right.
A long, successful life. But if you get involved in this, whether it's, you know, hanging out with the wrong people, drugs, alcohol, smoking dope, whatever it is, if you get into that, It is a slippery slide going nowhere. There is no shortcut out of it.
Right.
And we would take people, and they knew we had a big family. People, our relatives that were in rehab several times, just could not whip. And I said, you know, it looked great. All sin smells good, tastes good, and feels good. But it's got death attached to it. Mm. So we try to tell the kids, I'm not trying to frustrate you. I'm trying to help you live a long life. Because that thing, as good as it looks, as good as it smells, as good, great as it tastes, it's got death attached to it. The devil's trying to kill you. So what we did, try to stay real calm and just set up a few rules for the house. Hey, we're trying to help you live a long time.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we focus on the wrong things. Like, yes. Both of my kids were very artistic. Still are.
Yes.
And one day I remember I came in. I just got new furniture for my living room, like a month before. And I got this beautiful wood, solid wood table. And I came in and I noticed something was on the table, and I looked and there was fingernail polish all over the top. And I was like, what? And I called my daughter over and I said, hey, did you paint your fingernails? And she was like 2 and a half. She goes, uh-huh. And she held them up, you know, and there's fingernail polish from her knuckle down to her, you know, tip of her fingers. And I go, they look so pretty, but I want to show you something. Do you see this, what happened on the table? Next time, let's put something underneath it so it doesn't, you know, that I don't have to strip and refinish the top of this table like I'm about to have to do. So let's not do that again. She said, I remember very innocently, I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me that before? And she never did it again. But sometimes we take something like that really is not a life changer, and we go postal on it.
Yeah.
And then there's something that's seriously needs to be addressed, and we wink at it. So you have to say, again, what values am I trying to instill in this kid? And so walk in love. And, you know, just move forward. But the best thing you can do is love them. And Joe just winked at me, and it kind of threw me off just a little bit. So if I sound like I kind of, you know, went off, I did. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
All right. He's trying to deposit in the love cup to make a withdrawal later on. All right. Love you guys. Thank you. Keep sending in those questions.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great one.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.